Welcome to the Fishers of Men podcast. This is a podcast where we discuss all vocations, those who are discerning or just entering into a religious vocation, and those who have been living in a vocation for a while. My name is Paula Dotson, and today we have Deacon Jorge Perez with us from All Saints Parish in St. Peter's. Deacon Jorge is a permanent deacon here in the parish. Welcome. Bienvenido.
Thank you. Gracias.
Gracias por reunirte con nosotros. So to start off with, could you please start us with a prayer?
Sure. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Father, thank you for all your blessings. Thank you for the opportunity to get together today and do this podcast that we may help to bring more people into the vocations, into whatever it is that you're calling them. We ask you to be present here with us today. May we be guided by the Holy Spirit. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Deacon Jorge. Thank you. So could you give us a little about your past and how you came to the diaconate and what life as a deacon has been for you?
Well, it's not what many people thought would be, or, you know, the typical path to the diaconate. It was not on my radar. It was, I was never thinking about it. It just, the Lord works in different ways, and that's how I eventually got here. There were a couple people, three people that asked me. First, it was my wife. She says, you would be a good deacon. And as a good husband that I am, I said, yeah, you're crazy. then it was a sister, a religious sister. She called me. No, first, I'm sorry, it was a priest. He called me and he says, have you ever thought about being a deacon? No, I haven't. Didn't even think about it. And the third call was this nun. She asked me, hey, have you thought about being a deacon? So that stopped me a little bit. And like, you're the third person that's telling me this. So I'm like, well, maybe that's a sign, isn't it? So I'm like, well, I have to think about that. And, you know, I thought about it. I went to the first session of the program just to listen, see what it was all about. And 5 years later, I was ordained.
So was the training itself 5 years, or did it?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, the formation is 5 years. And after the fifth year, you're ordained. But then back when I was ordained in 2014, it was a 3 year classes after ordination. I believe now it's 5 additional years.
So 5 and 5.
Yes.
Interesting. So you were ordained in 2014. 14. Where were you assigned first?
My first assignment was in Charles Borromeo. I was actually assigned there prior to ordination. There's steps to get to ordination. Lector, then is acolyte, then a deacon. So when I was a lector, I was assigned to Borromeo. Mm-hmm. And I was there the 2 years prior to ordination, and then about 5 years after ordination. And 3 years ago, 3-4 years ago, I was transferred over here to All Saints.
Okay.
Which is, by the way, which is my home parish.
Well, we were very glad to see you come back.
Yeah, it was nice to come back.
Now, you're not originally from the St. Louis area, are you?
I'll give it away. What was your first clue? No, I'm not. I was born in Mexico City.
How in the world did life bring you here to St. Peter's, Missouri?
Actually, it brought me to Minnesota. That's where I started. Well, I came to the United States. I was in Texas studying. It was through a migrant program, a program doing ministry to migrants, that we went from Texas to Minnesota. That's where I met who is now my wife. We met there 1980 around. And then we went off to college different ways. We continued to be in contact. And after we finished, we got married in Minnesota.
Interesting.
Yes.
And then what type of work were you doing at the time?
With that migrant program.
So what brought you here to St. Louis?
Well, after our marriage, I was working back then it was First National Bank in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And somebody that moved from that bank to here, to St. Louis, contacted me back there, and he said, would you be willing to move? So they offered me a job here. We flew down. They showed us the city, showed us around, fed us, drank us, everything. And we decided, yeah, okay, let's do it. So we moved here because of that job. It was in the banking industry.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like your mind was not necessarily on the diaconate, but until people kept seeing that in you.
Right. No, my mind was definitely not there. But looking back now, everything that happened to me from the time I came to the United States was pointing me in a different direction that I wanted to be. Typical, the way God works, right? So that's now looking back, or after being in the program, looking back, I realized what was happening. Mm-hmm. I think God was calling me this way.
So you thought you knew what your future would be, but God had different plans.
And how many of us do we do that, right?
Interesting. Now, how old were your children when you decided to go into the training?
They were actually in college. So that wasn't a problem for us at that point.
But it sounds like your family was very supportive of your decision.
Yes, yes. Well, you know, when your kids are in college, like, whatever. but yeah, they had to be part of the decision, yes. Yeah. And obviously my wife.
Yeah. Well, she was the first one to suggest it sounds like.
Yeah.
So we can thank Carla. Great. So now, in your service as a deacon, what has been one of the most fulfilling experiences that you've had?
I think when I see that light bulb on people, when whatever it is, formation, teaching, mass, sacraments, baptism, or something along those lines, and they come to Jesus or go to Jesus, they get close to him. That's what is fulfilling.
Interesting. What is one of the biggest challenges in your role as a deacon?
Good question. I think that one of the biggest challenges is trying to do too much. You know, we want numbers. We want many people to come to Jesus. We want, you know, to see, bigger numbers, more people. And there's, as we all know, there's not that many coming back to the church or going away from the church, actually. So, but staying grounded and knowing that even if it's just one person that mm-hmm. comes back or that realizes what Jesus can do for them, that's rewarding too.
Interesting. Now, at St. Charles Borromeo, you had a fairly good-sized Hispanic parish population, if you put it that way.
Y por eso es que estuve yo en sí, Borromeo.
Sí, porque puedes hablar con ellos. How is that role different than possibly here at All Saints, where we don't have a large, or I assume we don't have a large Hispanic population?
How is different from?
from working with the Hispanic group in or even your Hispanic ministry with the Archdiocesan offices right. now?
Working with the people is no different. You know, there's different traditions, different customs, different mm-hmm. language, obviously, but it's no different than working with the Anglo community. We're all people. We're all the same.
We just need to be able to communicate, right?
Right, right.
Can you tell us a bit about your work with the Archdiocesan office?
Yeah, so after, I don't know, 30-plus years of working in the corporate world or corporate America, I lost my job, actually. It was on a Holy Thursday when I lost the job. So that Easter weekend, I didn't know what to do. Kept it quiet until Sunday night. We talked about it. I talked to my wife about it. And one thing that I had never done was to look for jobs in the Archdiocese. That night, out of the blue, I just figured, well, let's see what's there. And there was an opening for the Office of Hispanic Ministry. So it was the obvious, what are you doing? because, you know, everything has been that kind of situation. Everything that has happened to me since becoming or joining the program has been like that.
Interesting.
No more coincidences. I don't believe in that.
Some people would call it fate, but yeah. I think in this case it's a little bit more specific and the man upstairs.
Right, right.
So it's been 9 years, roughly, that you've been a
yes.
permanent deacon?
Yep.
Have you seen many changes in the role of a deacon in that time?
No. No, I guess the biggest change is the lack of, say, lack of deacons, even though there's more deacons than there's priests. but the number of participants in the class is going down. Mm-hmm. Our class was one of the largest. There were 21 men in my class, and ever since it's been going down. I think the current class is like 8 people. Mm-hmm. So that's it's just.
And I assume we're seeing a similar situation as with the number of priests, in that as the number of entering the program is going down, the number who are retiring or passing away is right. not.
Right. Yeah.
So,
yeah, because I think to join, you have to be of certain age. So that makes us older by the time we get ordained. And, you know, we don't have too many years left.
Yeah. When you had both a lay job, but you were also a deacon, was it difficult to balance the two lives, I guess you could put it, you know, the lay responsibilities with the religious responsibilities?
It was difficult in a way. Sometimes I found myself spending time at work doing ministerial work that I shouldn't have done. So, yeah.
You won't tell anyone.
Yeah, right. So that part, yes, that was difficult. Mm-hmm.
Juggling three aspects, the lay life, your family life, and the diaconate, were there ever any times when you had to kind of say, time out and this has to come first or that, you know?
Yeah, and actually, my wife makes a good comment on this, because when she came to with me to some of the classes, she heard the message that was being said to us very loud and clear. Family is first. Well, God is first, then family, then work, then your ministry. So there was a time after ordination, when I was in Bermeo, we're supposed to track our hours every year of how much time we put into the ministry. And I was doing a full-time job there being a deacon. That's how many hours I had, over 2,000 hours. So that's when I said, wait, something's had to change. So I stepped back a little bit. Not that it was bad. It's just I'm spending too much time. So I tried to come back and spend more time at home with the family.
Yeah, family has to be there to support you, but they have to agree with.
Right.
Interesting. Yes. Okay. In your ministry as deacon, have you ever been in a situation where your emotions just got the better of you?
Oh, yes.
Are there any you can actually talk about?
Yeah. I noticed that the older I get, the more emotional I get. When I was young and foolish, I never felt emotional. But now just the very last episode, if you will, was at my daughter's wedding. She had asked me if I would do the wedding, and I said, I think I'd rather be the dad versus the deacon. So I asked a friend, deacon of mine, to do the celebrant. But she says, well, can you do something? So in talking with my friend deacon, we said, why don't you do the blessing? So I did the nuptial blessing, and it was not easy.
Yeah.
I broke down.
I can understand that would be difficult as a dad. When you do have free time, what do you like to do?
I would like to go camping, hunting. I'd kind of stop there because free time and where. But yeah, we enjoy camping, and I think you guys do too.
Yeah.
So that's what we like to do, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, getting away from everything.
Yes, exactly. Especially for an introvert like myself, then getting away is
introvert?
Good.
Introvert?
Oh, yes.
So now I understand that not too long ago you were able to visit the Holy Land.
Right.
What was that like?
Oh, that was amazing. I heard people say, oh, the Gospels come alive. And like, yeah, right. But they do. They do. Knowing and having been there, having smelled what Jesus smelled, having seen what Jesus saw, just amazing.
Yeah. What sites were you able to visit?
All the popular ones, all the common ones, but being able to celebrate Mass inside the Holy Sepulchre, Mount Evo, just all those holy sites is incredible.
So instead of just being a story, it comes to life.
Right.
Interesting. Oh, you also have visited some the Basilica of Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Right.
In Mexico.
In Mexico. Yes.
Interesting. Yes. Can you describe that? Because I've never been to that site. Can you describe that?
Describe it. Well, it's big, bigger than I thought it would be. And there's even one of those walkways that you see at airports.
Oh, yeah.
Behind the altar. It goes behind the altar, and you're able to see the tilma up on the wall. I don't know how many feet up above you, but you're able to see it somewhat up close.
Oh, my goodness. So if a young man came to you and said, I'm thinking of becoming a deacon, what advice or comments would you give him?
I think one of the first question, I guess, would be, is your wife in it? Does your wife support you? Does your wife want you to do that as well? Because we are the ones that are ordained, the men, but we can only we can only be ordained if our wife is in agreement, so to speak, or supports us. In fact, every year at the end of the school year, we have what they call the scrutinies, and it's an interview with a group of deacons, and it's between them, you and your wife. Your wife is always has to always be present at these events, and the questions are you still in it? Are you do you agree that he'll continue? Do you believe that he can continue? Mm-hmm. Things like that.
That must also be reassuring for the wife to know that there is that concern, to ensure that she's not being forgotten.
Right. Right. Yes.
Interesting. Well, thank you so much, Deacon Jorge. We appreciate you being with us today.
Thank you.
Could you take us out with a prayer?
Absolutely. Father, thank you. We are mindful that your Spirit is within us. We are mindful that we are in need of many vocations, marriage vocations, holy orders, even religious life. We ask that you inspire, you guide more people that take up this vocation, these vocations. And we ask your blessing upon us, the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thanks, everyone, for joining us for the Fishers of Men podcast. We'll be back again soon with more interviews with our religious here at All Saints. Y gracias de nuevo, Deacon Jorge.
Gracias. Gracias. Mucho gusto.